Welcome back to the After Hours Podcast. We are here at The Taste Wine Bar in Toledo on Central Avenue. And with me today, I have Joey as the co-host and I have Natasha as the guest. So what's going on, Natasha?
Nothing much, just living a dream.
Hell yeah. Love to hear that. So are you from the Toledo area? How'd you get started here?
Actually, no, I'm not. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
But I went to Bowling Green State University. So after graduation, I ended up getting a job out here. Originally didn't want to stay in this area, but I found that there was a lot of opportunity in the Toledo area. And so I just rode it out, you know.
Where in Cleveland are you from?
Cleveland Heights, East Cleveland area. Yeah, okay. East side of Cleveland.
Gotcha. My mom lives in Mayfield, so that's pretty
close. Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. For sure. Yeah, not too far.
What made you go to Bowling Green?
I transferred to BGSU. I had played basketball for Hiram College, which is a small, very small liberal arts school in Northeast Ohio. And then I just ended up transferring due to the opportunities that were available at BG.
Cool. So what'd you major in?
Political science and sociology, and then I got my master's in American Cultural Studies, also from BG.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah, well-read, well-studied, for sure. What made you want to go into that field of, like, poli-sci and stuff?
Well, originally I wanted to go to law school.
Okay.
But then I started doing some math, you know. It's very expensive to go to law school, and then I got a job that had the opportunity to scale and grow, and I'm like, I could probably make the same amount without the law school loans.
Right, so for sure.
Just make mathematical sense.
Yeah. So have you had any other ventures besides this place, this Taste
No,
wine bar?
This is the very first one. So I guess I went big on the first one and see what happens.
So that's what I was wondering. Because, like, this place is gorgeous. And, like, I mean, this is no small feat by any means. So I didn't know if you'd, like, slowly worked your way up to this level of entrepreneurship or, you know.
No,
it's pretty impressive for sure.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah. So, like, when you were younger, were you an entrepreneur? Were you, like, trying to figure out ways and how to make money here or there or anything like that?
Well, I come from a family of entrepreneurs.
Oh, awesome.
My mom and her two sisters, my aunts, they owned, they were seamstress and they owned their own shop. And so throughout the years, I would just watch them grow. Obviously, at that time, I didn't know what it was called, you know, entrepreneurship, but I just kind of watched them make things, and they had a brick and mortar store that they had for over 25 years, and they considered themselves retired. However, because they are some of the best in the Cleveland area, people still come to them, even though they don't have the brick and mortar open right now.
That's cool.
Nice. So did you sell any lemonade or anything like that?
I remember being in my mom and my aunt's shop making, like, pillowcases because, I don't know, I was just around a lot of fabric and scraps, and I would, you know, put together pillowcases and various things. And I wouldn't necessarily sell them, but I would just try to, you know, for some reason, I thought the pillowcases were valuable. But my family just basically looked at the pillowcases. They obviously thought they were probably crap, but they just played along with it and would buy them from me here and there.
Nice.
I feel that. I remember, like, when I was younger and I was trying to, like, just do creative stuff that would make money, but also something that was easy. So I remember in, like, middle school, I would go to, like, 7-Eleven or just, like, a gas station before school started. And our middle school allowed you to have gum. So I would go and pick up, like, 3 or 4 packs, and then I would sell individual pieces for, like, 50 cents or something. And then I just started making money. And then there's also, I would take, like, 3 different flavors of gum, and I put them all in one pack, and then I'd, like, switch them out. And then I'd sell the pack for, like, $4 with 3 different flavors of gum.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? On second thought, I now that you mentioned gum and candy and stuff, I remember being in high school. I don't know. I'm probably a little bit older than you guys, but there used to be, like, these little packs of, like, sugar sticks that you would, like, break them off and dump them. And
like Pixie sticks.
Yeah, but you would get, like, 100 of them for, like, a couple of dollars, and then I would end up selling them for, like, a quarter or whatnot.
Yeah.
But I would be the only one who could get, like, the blue raspberry or something like that. So,
right.
You just don't look at it as entrepreneurship until you kind of think back haunted.
Yeah, so you know my girl Natasha? Yeah, she got that blue raspberry.
Yeah, for sure.
She's a bug, for sure. Yeah, so, I mean, how did you get here, and like, what made you want to set up shop on Central Ave? Was this just a convenience thing, or what?
So, I came across the ideal about 10 years ago. I was with a couple of my sorority sisters. One of my sorority sisters, she was getting married in the Washington, D.C. area. And, you know, you have a little bachelor party or bachelorette party, and yeah, just kind of bar hop. And so one of the places we went to was a self-serve wine bar. So I just kind of tucked that in the back of my head. And then as I was going through my career, I was looking for opportunities and things to do outside of my my career. And with seeing so many breweries popping up in Northwest Ohio, it seems like every day, right?
Every day, for sure.
But I love wine, and there's not really a place before we came along where you could just relax and enjoy a glass of wine in a similar format as like a brewery. So I decided to, you know, look into it. Central Avenue was one of the places that were on the top of the list. But the demographics, doing market research, they have to fit. And the Sylvania area is a perfect place. Also, the rent is very nice. So.
Did you do any traffic studies or anything like that to see?
Yeah, looking, the Lucas County Library has a lot of good resources for entrepreneurs, as well as they have a business department that will show you how to look up and drill down to numbers, whether it's the traffic patterns from 35,000 cars coming up and down Central Avenue to the demographics of the average income being, you know, over 60,000 within a 2-mile radius.
Yeah.
Really drilling down to get what you want, as well as the Toledo Chamber.
Yeah, I know for Boulevard Market, someone else we had previously had on the podcast, they were thinking about opening a second store.
Okay.
And they did a lot of that. So they were doing it themselves, where they would track like how many cars were going by the corner of this intersection.
Yeah.
Because that's where they wanted to set up shop.
Nice.
So that, we thought it was really smart, but yeah, no
doubt. Yeah, we were like, oh wow, yeah, that's a great idea. So that's just why we started like asking people and stuff, you know, so.
Yeah, I'm not all for standing up on the corner and trying to figure it out, but nothing a good keyboard click or two can't, you know, figure out for you.
Yeah,
right. So yeah, just looking at demographics, and you have to know exactly what you want, who your target customer is.
Yeah.
Because without that, I mean, you can end up on Secor, or you can end up on Central, or you can end up on Summit Street downtown, and that might not suit your needs
right.
your business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So who would you say your like target customers or your target market is?
I would say it's twofold. And I know business people would probably cringe because they're like, you need to pick, you know, a specific person. But I think because of the machines and providing the opportunity to try a lot of wines, you can cater to that person who's really knowledgeable in wine and have them have their own experience, but most definitely that socially or conscious person, or that individual who wants a social environment and who's cost conscious. Sorry, that's what I meant to say. Cost conscious and wants to try a wide variety of wines. So people who love to be in a social environment, that enjoy wine and just want to have a very good time.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much everybody.
Oh, that's awesome. So you had mentioned, I believe, if I remember correctly, that you said you saw the first time you saw a wine bar was when you were out.
A self-serve wine bar.
A self-serve,
that's
yes.
Right.
Where was that at?
In the National Harbor in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay.
So they have National Harbor. They have a lot of shops and plazas alongside the water and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they have a self-serve wine bar. I'm not quite sure if it is still in existence, but I just remember, you know, being there and able to enjoy wine. Now, at that time, I was not as familiar with all the terms and or the type of wines. At that time, I was just probably drinking Moscato, you know, the gateway.
Nothing wrong with a little Moscato.
Of course, of course.
I mean, me and Joey have been known to drink a little box wine here or there.
Yeah, you know. Of course. It stays fresh, too, so you can't go wrong with that. But, yeah, so I was in the D.C. area just exploring that.
So, yeah, for anyone that doesn't know what a self-serve wine bar is, could you give everyone, like, a little... I don't know, a little information about how it works and the process that you have here, because it's pretty high tech and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, so. For sure. So we have 20 wines on tap. We have machines that dispense wines at 1, 3, or 5 ounces. So a person comes in, obviously we check their ID. We have a special card that's the size of your average debit or credit card that they use. They put in a machine, put a glass underneath the spout, and then they select 1, 3, or 5 ounces. And it pours it right out for you. So it gives a individual opportunity just to try. I mean, maybe that wine they always want to try. We sometimes have a $100 bottle of wine in there. And when you ask like the average person who likes to drink wine, they're like, I never had a $100 bottle of wine before. Yeah. So you could come in here and try that. Or even some people, a $50 bottle of wine.
Right.
You could, you know, kind of check it out and see without... You know, if you went to the restaurant, you're going to have to buy the whole bottle. And it's probably going to be $150. So it just gives you a good opportunity. Just try what you want.
And here, I mean, you can get some wines, you know, as cheap as like $1.50
for an ounce. Oh, for sure. So. Yeah, we try to make it, once again, you know, for that cost-conscious person who wants to have a good time. And so you could get an ounce for $1. We have some things that... are an ounce and it's $3. When people call and they always say, how does it work? I tell them, look, you go to the gas station, right? They got 89, 93, 95 or 97, right? So depending on the type of gas, that's just gonna determine how much you pay per gallon. So it's kind of basically the same concept, I mean. Yeah. So we'll just plug it in and go from there.
Yeah, for sure. It was the first time I ever used one, and I thought it was really cool. Super, like, user-friendly. It's not hard at all. You just go in, put your card in, click whatever size you want, and then it dispenses. Currently, I am drinking a 3-River blend red wine. Is that correct? I
think that's what it is. Yeah, Argentina.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm drinking a
Eve
Chardonnay, I believe, right?
Sonoma.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So. I actually had a quick question about your machines.
Yeah.
So how do you know when they're like running low or if somebody has like, you know, there's 2 ounces left but somebody puts 5, like how does that work?
Very good question. So the machine will actually give you the 2 ounces.
Okay.
And then the machine is very smart. It knows that, you know, you only got 2. Mm-hmm. Even though 2 ounces isn't an option, it prorates and knows only to charge you for 2.
Okay.
And then the red light comes on and it lets us know and we switch it out.
Cool. Okay, so it's very smart. That makes a lot of sense because that was just something I was kind of wondering, you know.
So it's actually, it provides a cost savings to us because in your scenario you just gave with the 2 ounces only remaining, there are some machines if somebody checked or hit 5 ounces and there was only 2 ounces left, it would say no. It wouldn't even give them the 2 ounces. Mm. So you as an entrepreneur or a business owner, what are you going to do with those 2 ounces?
Right.
You know, because the machine is not, unless somebody presses 1 ounce.
But then they have to press 1 twice, which is also very unlikely.
Right. So it just provides the opportunity to get every last drop out of the bottle. And the machines keep the wine fresh for 60 days.
Okay.
So there's little to no spoilage. Mm. And they also serve as an extra employee. So it's pretty neat. It, you know, obviously we don't want to take jobs from people, but you know, having a bartender or whatnot at a bar, it also has basically like safety feature, because we've all been to a bar, you could slip bartender extra dollar or two and they're gonna give you an extra little pour, right? They're like, you know. And so with this, we have the ability to cut people off, you know, and we have the ability to say you had 6 ounces, you know, versus if you're somewhere else and you're at the bar, you have no clue how many ounces somebody has.
So right.
It's actually safer, or actually beneficial to kind of keep track of the data and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Can never have too much data for anything.
Oh,
you know?
Heck no. I think sometimes I don't even use my data enough because I'm here a lot. And so it's just kind of knowing. Mm-hmm. But as an entrepreneur, you have to be forward thinking.
Right.
Once you get to a spot where you can, you know, have multiple employees and maybe you're not here every day, how do you still know, you know,
right,
what the statistics are for your business?
That makes a lot of sense.
So how do you make your selection for which wine's going to be on display and in the self-serve?
Yes,
machine?
So we have somebody on our team. She has very high wine education, and she's able to select. I do some of the selection. The whole team does, as well as our distributors that we use, will come in and they'll. One plus about owning a wine bar, like yesterday, I just had a free tasting, right? Mm-hmm. So you get to try everything and just go over your flavor profiles. You also, after a while, when we first opened, you know, we thought that individuals would like more drier wines. And we do have a nice range of drier, but I mean, the sweet wines, it's like Kool-Aid, you know? And people just come in and they're ready to just stroke out on those sweet wines. So.
Yeah. I'm sure the younger generation and the younger crowd really likes sweet wines more than mm-hmm. anyone else too.
Assuming. But it gives them an opportunity. You'll see them kind of creeping because our wines mm-hmm. are ranged from sweet to dry. So the dry wines are, you know, moved to the right. You'll see them creeping down there, but it's just a testament how we have our business model, because a lot of people get intimidated by wine. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to pronounce things or, you know, say specific terms. And if you wanna be actively involved with us, engaged, we do have the, you know, knowledgeable staff to do so. But if you just wanna try it and go for it, you might be surprised if, you know, you try something you've never even heard of or you always wanted to try, without that huge financial commitment. So.
That's how I am. I mean, I like to dabble in different wines and just try different stuff. So usually I'm more toward the sweet end, but say I switched it up with something a little bit drier, and I don't regret it. It's great. So
it's kind of like the same as like coffee. You know how when you first start drinking it, you know, some creamers, some sugars, and then as you know, you start going long. You know, you get to college, and you're like, yeah, I'm just gonna start drinking it black.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of progresses in that way.
Put a little hair on your chest, right?
Yep, exactly. Dry wine will do that too.
So. Oh, for sure. Like I told you before, I started off with the Moscato and the sugary sweet. And don't get it twisted. I'll still, you know, dibble and dabble and have a nice little Moscato. There are some that are better than others, but I tend to prefer drier wines. But that was a long progression in progress. But I feel like if I had a place such as the Taste Wine Bar around me as I was learning to explore wines, maybe my progression would have been a little bit quicker. So.
Yeah, we mentioned a younger demographic coming in here, trying new wines, starting mostly with like the sweet end.
Right.
But would you say that the younger demographic is who usually comes in here more often than older?
No, it's a nice crowd. It's a nice mix. If I had to like pinpoint an age range, I would probably say 25 to 55.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah. Wow. So you have people, since we're in the Sylvania area and our plaza is located right in front of St. James, which is, you know, back here in Sylvania, when the weather's good, we have people who have Wine Walk Wednesday, and they'll walk through. They some way found a little crack in the fence back there, and they just walk through. But those people are probably, you know, in their mid-30s, early 40s, with young families that like to just drink wine. But we've heard, you know, numerous comments from people. They come out. We have live music, yep, wine and yoga, book club collaboration with the Lucas County Library, and people will come out for live entertainment. They said, man, this is like one of the only or few places in Toledo where we can have like a diverse crowd. Mm-hmm. And they mean like from 25 to 55, yeah, you know, so it's pretty nice.
So speaking of your live entertainment, I see a few things up on the board.
Yeah.
Tony, violinist, then you got some Vines and Lines and Pay and Sip. Can you explain that to us a little bit?
So yeah, the Vines and Lines, we started that last year, last fall, which is a monthly book club in collaboration with the Lucas County Library, the King Road branch. So it's on the fourth Wednesday of every month. And for a book club, we have about 15 or 20 people. And so they come pick up the book, and then they come and discuss it, and then they the following month, then they get the new book. Every month, we at least try to have one or two live entertainment. So we have coming up a violinist. He plays like top 40 hip hop R&B on the violin. Wow. We've never had him before, so we are really excited to see how that works.
Our camera guy Joe is he looks like he's liking that.
Oh,
like
for that. Sure. Yeah. We also have saxophone player that we normally have on a monthly basis, either Mike Williams on sax or sax B. Wine and yoga once the weather gets a little bit warmer, Saturday mornings with a continental breakfast.
Stop by.
Yeah, for sure.
Get you guys some. Got everything. Wow.
Yeah, we have a lot of events, and then every month we normally have a paint and sip with Uncork the Artist, which is a local business. So we always try to make sure that we collaborate with other local businesses in order to keep the spirit going and just be good neighbors and good stewards in the community. Yep.
Absolutely. I did notice, though, that there is nothing for St. Paddy's Day.
I know, right? Sad, right? And part of it is because St. Paddy's includes a lot of day drinking.
Yes.
We open at 4. So people will probably be slumped over by then, you know?
Yeah,
so
four, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, normally people get slumped on St. Paddy's Day over beer.
Yeah.
But that's something to keep in mind maybe for next year.
Oh, so. I could definitely see some people coming in here doing like a little brunch maybe and just start the day drinking.
That's a good idea.
I could totally see it, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of brunch, we're going to start in May with a monthly Saturday morning brunch. It's going to be a jazz brunch.
Okay.
So we'll have it catered and then live music and some good wine and mimosas.
Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, can't go wrong there.
What type of foods are you thinking for that?
I'm thinking like some potatoes, breakfast potatoes, maybe like toast and like croissants, fruits, and things like that. So.
Right, and I'm sure as you keep doing it, you'll see like what people like the most, stuff like that. So,
but hey, you can't please everybody. Yeah. Do potatoes, they're gonna want hash browns, you know. Then you do hash browns, they're gonna want sausage. So.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So, how do you coordinate with all of these other like businesses in the area? Is there a simple way for you to do that, or do you have to like go and knock on their door?
It's funny. A lot of them have come to us. It's like word of mouth. So they'll either like come in just as a regular patron, and then they'll say, oh man, I own this business. Have you thought about doing something? And then we just go from there. But we do private events. Yesterday we did an event with Imagination Station, Women in STEM. Mm-hmm. And so that was pretty popular. We do baby showers, bridal showers. If you want to get engaged up in here, we can do whatever you need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. That's one thing I've noticed with the Toledo community is that everyone that's an entrepreneur or a small business owner, they all like collaboration. They all like seeing the benefits of the community grow through collaborative projects and working together and stuff like that.
Yes, so. For sure. I mean, going back to being good neighbors, we're in the same plaza with Marcos, with Coyote Kai, a lot of people, because you can bring in your own food here from, if it's made in a commercial kitchen or whatnot. So a lot of people go to Coyote Kai, our neighbors, and they bring their food over here. So, just being a good neighbor in that terms and just growing together as Toledoans.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So can you give us like a little rundown on what happens with what, yoga and wine?
What is it called? Wine and yoga.
Wine and yoga, yeah.
So, like I said, it's normally once a month. We have an instructor who comes. We try to make sure that's a small, intimate group, no more than about 15 people.
You guys move the furniture around a bit?
Yeah, we move the furniture. We clear the furniture. It includes a mimosa and then a continental breakfast that'll have like muffins, fresh fruit. And then you get a wine cart. And then our yoga class, and then afterwards people just get to network and talk and just relax, and it's normally like at 9 or 10 a.m.
Oh, that's how I want to start my day.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Running your errands, going to Target, you know, feeling right, you know.
And then I actually saw on your website too, maybe a food truck is coming.
We're trying to, you know, that once again, being an entrepreneur and not being the owner of the land, you have to get landlord's permission, as well as you want to be good neighbors too. So you have a food truck, but then you're in a plaza with other food businesses. You don't want to take business from them, but making sure that we do provide things for our customers. So yeah, food truck, we're going to, once the summer gets here, figure it out and go from there.
I know, like by our old townhouse, our old fraternity house, across the street at like 1, 2 a.m. There'd be a food truck that would stay open really late on the weekends.
Nice.
And they would wait for all the people to leave the party and go over there. That thing was a gold mine, man.
Oh yeah.
Really?
You know when, I mean, when you're a little buzz, you know, all food tastes good. So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Taco Bell's like a 5-star meal.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it was really smart. They literally posted across the street, posted up with a truck.
Yeah.
And on the side of the street where the parties were happening, there was six houses.
Yep.
So like six or
seven.
Well,
six on six times two because there's two rows.
Yeah.
So there like 12 houses, and then the bars are in between the houses and the food truck.
Yeah.
So they made some money.
Yeah. So I think it's a really good idea for sure. I mean,
nice. Thanks.
You can never not have drink like wine and then not have food.
Correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
You need a little bit of both. So.
Perfect.
What kind of food are you thinking though? If you do get a food truck.
Well, it won't be ours. So we'll once again collaborate and have local food trucks come out.
Okay.
So whether it is like there's a couple places that have pizza or food truck or just your general food truck that they sell like hamburgers,
wings, onion rings.
Yep, whole spill. Yep. And just making sure that we have something out here. I know Rosie's has a food truck. So, you know, once again, going back to supporting local businesses as well.
Taco Gringos is always a good one.
Tacos, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Taco sales are really
always
good.
Always one of my favorites.
Yeah. I love tacos.
What is your favorite food to pair with wine?
I love steak.
Okay.
So steak and cabs, you know, are good, but I have a bad habit, which wine connoisseurs would probably throw something at me.
Mm-hmm.
I love cab, you know. Some people are like, you can't drink cab in the summertime. I'm drinking cab, you know. you can't drink cab with this or that. And it's true, it does throw off the taste a little bit of maybe what you're eating. But yeah, a good steak, probably a baked potato with broccoli and cheese and a glass of cab.
Nice.
Yeah.
So do you ever eat like cheese and crackers or anything with wine, or have you ever thought about bringing like cheese in like here somewhere?
Yeah, cheese and crackers for sure. We thought about having some plates with meat, cheese,
mm-hmm.
Charcuterie boards are what they're normally called. And then that's more overhead. You just have to look at it from a, you know, a business perspective. People really like the fact that they can bring in their own
food.
Yeah, because our theme is like, it's your favorite living room.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to get living room vibes.
Yeah.
So if you're in your living room and you were hanging out with your friends, you know, you would tell your friend, okay, you bring this, you bring the cheese,
yeah.
I'm gonna bring this, and
right.
then we supply the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay true to that.
That's pretty cool. I've never been somewhere, especially at like an establishment centered around drinking or eating,
mm-hmm.
that lets you bring in outside food. So that's very different.
Yeah, we stick to what we know. And then obviously if you go with additional food than building out a full kitchen and overhead and costs associated with it. So, yeah. I mean, when you think about it, you go to a lot of breweries, they don't have a full scale menu, like people that are just straight breweries, mm-hmm. you know? So we just took that concept and ran with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, you're on the topic of maybe kitchen, food truck. Do you have any other plans to expand and maybe have multiple taste wine bars?
One of the questions we always get at least once a day, kid you not, is this a franchise? And so when the people are checking out, they're like, is this a franchise? Even last night, someone said, because they are originally from Toledo and they moved back from Toledo from being in Boston for like 10 years. And they're like, are there other taste wine bars? And at first I was like, no, like getting annoyed. I'm like, duh, they're asking for a reason, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
So the plan is to expand. I feel like there are some areas in Northwest Ohio and Southeast Michigan that would be a very perfect fit for the Taste Wine Bar.
I'm from like the downriver, like just south of Detroit area.
Yeah.
And I don't really know of any wine shops or like wine bars. Not definitely no wine bars, but like even like wine shops are just like a place you can go and hang out, get coffee, get a, like a wine, you know, anything like that. There's really no like casual place. Like you were saying, like living room.
Yeah.
Like there's nowhere, like there's no feel to that where I'm from.
Same as I'm from Southern Michigan too. And there's nothing like this. So that's why it's like so unique, you know? How long, back on that topic, how long do you think it's going to be before you like have the ability to open another store?
Hopefully the fall of 2021, you know, finding the perfect spot, going through that research again. I have a couple places in mind that I'm thinking as far as what the next, two spots would be, but you gotta have liquor license availability.
Yeah.
And,
those can be pricey, right? Liquor licenses?
Well, yes and no, if you have to buy it from somebody.
Yeah.
So they make the liquor license quotas based on the population.
Okay.
So there's only X number in each county, and then they drill it down to city. Mm-hmm. So we, even though we're technically like right here at Toledo, but this is Sylvania Township.
Okay.
So there's openings. Mm-hmm. If you end up going to a place where there are none available.
Like Bowling Green.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Right? Don't quote me on this, but I believe there's only two places that can sell alcohol over 40% in Bowling Green. That's what Dave told me.
Oh, like the liquor?
Like liquor.
A retail?
Yes.
Yes, that is true. Wow. Actually, it might, like for example, Kroger bought their liquor license from, there was a liquor store in BG, but they bought it for a couple million dollars.
Yeah, that's
what
our
friend BG was saying.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It was in the paper a couple years ago.
It's got to be worth it for them in the long run, though, even for a few million.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. It's in a college town, so they make that money very quickly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's where you hear about if there are no liquor licenses available, then you get to a point where you have to buy one off of someone, and that becomes very expensive.
Yeah. And Joey just got up. He's perusing. He's about to get another drink, I think.
He's a wine expert now. For sure.
So, yeah, with the amount of people that come in here, I mean, would you say most of them are, like, regulars? Do you see them multiple times a month?
No, I would say that we're still in the phase where we have a lot of new people coming in. And one of the things when they check out, how did you hear about us? And a lot of people say Facebook. So it's really...
Do you advertise on Facebook?
We've done Facebook ads, IG ads. And I think we need to go really hard on Facebook because a lot of people say, oh, no, I heard of you on Facebook. Or someone told me, so word of mouth. But Facebook and word of mouth are probably the two biggest
How targeted do you get when you do the ads on Facebook?
So, you know, Facebook and this algorithm, I swear, it makes you just want to just bang your head sometimes. I've gotten really specific. I mean, people who love wine and, you know, in a specific zip code. And it, you know, wasn't as fruitful as I thought. But then I, you know, broadened my reach and then I get better results. Mm-hmm. But I think the best combination for us is wine, women.
Women?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the secret?
Yeah.
I'm going to start coming here more often then.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you know, break down our audience or our clientele, the majority of them are women. Mm-hmm. And then it's funny because they'll bring in maybe their significant other, and then they're in here rolling their eyes. But then we have, like, our first wine is a port. It's a 20-year port. It's very strong. So if somebody comes in and they like a whiskey or a bourbon or something,
yeah,
we point them over there, and then they're happy.
Yeah. So. Speaking of Facebook and, like, running ads on Facebook,
yeah,
it's probably, you said you do run ads on Facebook?
Yes.
And the average customer acquisition cost is only, like, $6 to $7 on Facebook. So if you can just get, you know, those people in here, I'm sure it's way worth it to advertise.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, our average tab per person is, like, $20.
Mm-hmm. And then think about their customer lifetime value, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if one ad, say you spend $60 on an ad campaign for a week in April,
right, yeah,
that person might be here for 6 years until they move out of state. You know, they could be a regular. So thinking about, like, the customer value long term, like their lifetime, that's absolutely worth it. And that's why, like, right now, digital mm-hmm. marketing and social media is so hot, because you can just acquire customers at cheaper than what it used to be.
Oh, for sure. And touch so many people,
yep,
without having to go out there. We had, like, the Toledo had Wine Fest a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you wanted to get a table at the Wine Fest, it would be like $500. And I'm thinking, if I took the $500 and put it on Facebook, I would hit, you know, so many people.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, taking some of that money and doing ads that way. And then I just stood outside the wine festival and handed out flyers. So they kicked me out.
I mean, that's smart, though. Shoot, $500, you know, you can get 70 new customers, plus, you know, 10,000 people viewing your store. Like,
right,
why go to see, you know, maybe a few hundred people view it for mm-hmm. 500? Yeah, I mean, that's a smart business decision, you know.
Right,
I just wish maybe, like, in that situation, Facebook, if I could have at that point drilled down, and I tried to, people who said they were going to the Wine Fest and advertised to them.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. there's no way at this point. So maybe yeah. one day.
And, like, that'd be super targeted, so I'm yeah. sure that'd be really expensive.
Yep. For sure. Yeah.
I mean, you guys are doing pretty good right now, I'd imagine. So, I mean, I hear a lot of great things, and the service here is phenomenal. Do you think people are going to try and copycat you or bring, like, competition to your area because of this?
That's my biggest fear. Mm-hmm. That is my biggest fear, finding that balance on when to make that next move to expand,
yeah,
to kind of ward off. I feel like if we get one more location in this area, people back off. You know, they'll be like, okay, they have that on lock. But you don't want to make the move too fast because your pockets might not be ready for it. But if you move too slow, then somebody else might come up on you. We've had people come in here. I'm not going to mention any names mm-hmm. from other businesses.
You can tell us after the podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Who own restaurants. But I'm very observant. I knew where they were from. I just called them out. Yeah, so, but yeah, that's probably, if I had to rank as an entrepreneur with this venture, what my biggest fear is: not moving fast enough. So how do you find the capital to make the next move?
Yeah.
And you don't want to make an emotional decision either, out of either fear or, you know, lack of resources.
Right.
Yeah, so that's one thing that we always talk about with our business and businesses and projects is that, I mean, 2020, you have at your fingertips, you have so much data, you have so much knowledge that you can use. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we said earlier, data is so, you know, important to making business decisions.
Right.
That you just never want to make a rash decision off emotion, like what you're saying, because there's just so many better ways to do it. And that's something we try to hold ourselves to.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense, so, for sure.
Yeah.
So I just had a random question that I was thinking of. So this being like a self-serve wine bar, do yeah. people generally like tip still?
Or, yeah.
Okay.
They tip. I think, yeah, that's a good question. I think they tip because the experience.
Okay.
They had a really good time. Mm-hmm. It was really laid back. A lot of people, like, we normally have some soft music playing in the background, mm-hmm. so people can hear themselves, mm-hmm. and then they will say when they're checking out, I'm so glad I didn't have to yell to hear what someone's saying.
We not gonna say where we were at last night, but mm-hmm. we were at a venue and
a bar.
We like live entertainment, but let's just say we were like a few foot away from this guy, and it was blaring, and like we couldn't even talk. Even like Frankie was right next to me, I couldn't even hear one word he was saying. So it's like, yes, live entertainment is awesome, but it can't be like blaring, you know?
Exactly. So yeah, back to that living room scenario. You're mm-hmm. gonna have maybe some music playing in the background, but you still can hear the person across from you or next to you. And so just keeping that environment. So yeah, they keep the tips coming because they can enjoy themselves and not feel like they're at a concert.
Yeah. Yeah, a bad concert.
Yeah. It was a table of like seven of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Joey were literally next to each other. I couldn't hear him. There's no way someone on the other side of the table could have heard him.
No.
It's like, not possible. Yeah.
And like I said, it's great to bring live entertainment, but like you said, you got to have the living room feel. Like, I want to be able to listen to that softly while still talking to everybody else.
Correct. Yeah.
We actually ended up leaving that bar. We got our checks as soon as possible, and we went to a different bar.
Yeah. It's all about the vibe, you know? For sure. For sure. It makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool. The aesthetic in here, was that custom to the vibe you're trying to promote, or is that how this building came? So like the high ceilings, the light fixtures, stuff like that.
So this spot had never been anything before. It
really?
Was a vanilla box, as they say, just blank.
Okay.
It was a little dirt floor. I put it that way. And so the high ceilings were there, all white drywall, and so one bathroom. So we had to put in a bathroom. The light fixtures, we chose paint color, seats, all of that stuff to get us that vibe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the church pews. You notice those.
Okay. What? How did you even get those? I've never even seen that.
Our contractor, we were thinking of ways to, keep costs low, but still get a good vibe. I had saw another self-serve wine bar in Wisconsin, and I saw that they had at the front along their windows these benches, but the benches didn't have any backs to them. And so when I was drawing it out, that's what I kind of wanted, some benches. And the contractor said, man, I know this church. I know the pastor, it's abandoned, but I think they got some good pews in there. And this is actually ARC Restoration and Construction. They're a local business as well. Shout out to ARC. And Ambria, they said that they had someone who had these pews, $50. So, went and got those and wiped them down.
$50 for each of those?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were like the perfect size for the, the length of the window. Like, we didn't have to cut them or anything.
I was going to say, they're literally perfect size, and they're, I'd say, really nice for $50.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. I feel like they would have got, like, that's like the scrap price for them. They pretty much just gave it to, like.
Oh, yeah, for sure, because I then Googled, like, how much church pews cost. Mm-hmm. Because that's like some very expensive wood that's used, because it has to hold a lot of bodies. $500-$600 for used church pews. A brand new church pew would be a couple thousand.
Yeah,
for sure.
No doubt in my mind. They're, like you said, very nice wood. Mm-hmm. So,
but it blends in well with the aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Most people don't even notice their church pews until they take a look.
So. I didn't until you said something. I kind of just thought they were benches, but now I'm like, oh, yeah.
And they are church pews, right? Yeah, for sure. So,
So now, fun question. Mm-hmm. Is there a difference between wine hangovers and, whiskey or beer? And do you find that the dry or sweet of the wine affects that?
Yeah, for sure. I think most definitely. So wine makes me sleepy.
Okay.
So that's pretty much it for me. The sweeter ones, not as much, but your stronger, bolder, heavier wines, for me, just relax and give you like that mellow feel and make then I go to sleep. But a liquor, my goodness, you know, that can have you passed out somewhere. So it there is a difference, I feel like, in how your body reacts. But there's also a difference. We've all had that cheap wine, you know, like that jug wine. That's on another level. That's like the level with your hard liquor or whatnot. And it's all in how it's produced and fermented and everything. So the jug wine, which, you know, people are buying it. Don't get me wrong. I've had a few jugs in my life, but it makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we've also had a few
that
jugs.
Box wine. I mean, you might rob a liquor store in accident. And you wake up the next day.
Like, what happened?
At 4 p.m., yeah, you're just like, can't look at the light.
Chalk outline, right?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. Do you have any like remedies or antidotes for a hangover?
Water, man.
Water, that's just what you got.
Water. You gotta double fist, but not with both, you know?
Okay.
Just get some water.
That. Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, whether it's liquor or your wine, because like I said, there's some strong wines in there. If I gave you a taste of that first one, you'd be like,
I might have to go try it real quick, get an ounce of it, to be honest. I'm thinking about it.
It's strong.
I got an empty glass and I'm thinking about it too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. If you like, you know, nice liquor. So, water, for sure.
Yeah. That's why we had Joe drive here.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that your aunt and your mom both were entrepreneurs in the clothing and fabric space.
Yeah.
So are there any similarities or things that you can see in your business, which is in a completely different industry, to stuff that they did?
That's a very good question. I would probably say...
I'm going to get another drink.
Okay, let me think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
If you're getting the first one, get a new glass. For the first one.
What's up? Right. Where do we put these ones?
You can put them just on that table, right? On the table, and I'll take care of them for you.
Hey, how's it going? So
good.
I'm gonna step in for a little bit. I'm Joe English. I'm the photographer. Figured I'd step in while those two make their selections. So, other than the wine bar, do you have any hobbies outside of this business?
Hobbies, man. I used to work out a lot, right? So everybody falters and fails. So I need to get back with working out, lifting weights or whatnot. I'm a sports fanatic. I love sports, particularly basketball. So I love basketball. I don't play as much as I should anymore, but man, being an entrepreneur just takes a lot of your time. So not as much as I would love to. I love to read. Mm. I'd love to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so I actually myself am in a very similar boat. I used to play football in college as well.
Okay.
So it's been a little bit of a struggle. We've been working like 10 to, I had a 20 hour day this week as an entrepreneur.
I had two.
So I understand what it's like to not get in some of that fun, but we do our best to try and play four square here or there. So you also mentioned that you're really into reading.
Yeah.
What books would you recommend recently? You also said you had a book club here, I believe.
So I read a lot of, I love books about entrepreneurs and their stories. Mm-hmm. So there's a book called That or This Will Never Work, Mark Randolph. Started Netflix.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool. It just came out maybe 4 or 5 months ago, but you get the whole story of how he's driving in the car with, you know, this guy who will eventually be one of his investors, and he's like, Netscape, and they're like, hell no, that's horrible, you know, and they're trying to figure out how to navigate this Netflix space and how there is no, at this time when they first come out, only a few DVDs. When you think about, you know, how things, then they put the DVD in the mail and mail it to themselves to make sure it doesn't break. and that joy that they get when it doesn't. It's just going through that entrepreneur story. And then one of my favorite books is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's from the 1930s, but it just all talks about mindset and things that you need to do in order to achieve your goals. So, will never work.
Us at the office, we have a few books that we're trying to read. We're trying to find time to.
It's hard.
Yeah,
it really is. But the one we're currently working on is How to
Win Friends and Influence People, which that one's also
That's Dale Carnegie?
Yep, Dale Carnegie, So that's like the office read. We just picked up a few of those.
Our unofficial book club.
Yeah, our unofficial team book club. We'd love to read more, but it's hard to find time. We just had, I think our second book has been, is a poetry book, actually. I don't know, do you remember the name of it?
I can't remember
last night.
But we read some poems out of it, and they're pretty inspirational, so.
Cool. Yeah.
That's something we're probably going to delve into.
One book club trick is audiobooks.
Yeah.
And Libby, which is free if you have a library card. You could download audiobooks. And I just use my car as I dub it my mobile office. And just hit the road and listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, Dan, our other designer back at the office, he actually recommended that to us a couple months ago. So I guess we have to take advantage of that.
Libby, for sure. I mean, it's awesome. And you can, for example, put a hold on a book because they only allow certain, just like a physical book, there's only so many people who can borrow it, you know. But you can put a whole bunch of books in your queue and then it'll just text you or let you know this one has been released to you. So
speaking of more of a digital format and in the entrepreneur space, a project that I am currently working on is a business in Toledo is doing a 30-day startup, and I'm doing a documentary for it.
Nice.
So if you're interested in that, I'm sure we could send that your way to watch that. That's actually our journey.
Yep.
Yeah, as we take a digital marketing company from zero to about 5 clients in 30 days is the hope, and trying to document the whole process. So hopefully at the end of it, it's funny you brought up Netflix, maybe something might happen there. But
how much, you and Dan would know the best, but how much raw footage do we have between vlogs, one-on-one interviews, the time lapses that we have going from the GoPros in our office?
Right now, so we get about an hour's worth of footage minimum each day.
Yeah.
So that's just from the GoPros alone. Yesterday, I just moved around about 100 gigs around my laptop, just trying to get a few of the files moved around. Yeah. I'd say in total, we're probably gonna have at least about a week's worth of raw footage in hours.
So. That's one thing that my business partner and I, Adriana, have kind of struggled with is we know we need to document this. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have that issue that everything has to be perfect, you know? And it's just like, just put it out there. But when the crazy thing is when we do post something that's just like authentic, raw, or you're doing something, so many people watch it.
Yep.
Whether it's you driving in a car talking, or you're saying, oh, I'm gonna go here, I'm gonna do a podcast today, or whatever it is, they watch it, so.
That's one thing for me and Joey. We really had to get comfortable in front of mics and being recorded and, you know, photography because that's 24 hours a day we're in the office, you know?
Yeah, from like six months ago to like now, it's like not even comparable to like how well I feel like I can speak in front of a camera, in front of a microphone, in front of other people.
Right.
Like, you know, it just changed like dramatically just from being on camera every day, them interviewing us, like all that. It just like, you get so comfortable so quick, you know?
For sure. And the thing is, you worry about other people. They're just encouraged because you're putting it out there, and you can't worry about what other people think. Just put it out there in the universe, and the universe will supply what you need.
They'll reward you for your confidence at the end of the day.
I think that's a great point. Yeah, like, the biggest thing you have to get is like you just can't care about what other people think. You can't, like, you just got to be confident and do it. Like, because once you start caring, once you start thinking about it is when you get, like, nervous and stuff like that. You just got to do it.
Yeah. So. And the main thing is the people who are sitting there worrying about what other people think, those people aren't doing anything anyway. So yeah. You just put it out there. It doesn't matter.
So I just want to get back to this this question we had before our little break. We had to get some more wine. Yeah. But what did you take from your mom and aunt when you were learning their entrepreneurial journey and how it applies to you, even though it is in two different industries, you know?
I would probably say one of the main things is that you have to be persistent and press on regardless of the times. So right now, for example, we're dealing with health issues globally, which is impacting business. And you have to be very creative in how you're gonna navigate. You can't sit back and say, well, oh, this is impacting my business, I'll wait till it blows over. And I've watched my aunts and I watched my mom be creative and navigate the space. So like, for example, I'm thinking, well, heck, they shut down the schools. So maybe I provide a discount for all the teachers, you know? Maybe we do wine delivery. What are some of the things we're not gonna sit back and let a solution fall in our laps? We're gonna create it. And I watch my aunts and my mom do the same thing from, you know, whether it's dealing with a business or whether it was with a garment that they're dealing with. You might have a garment that you're gonna think it's gonna fit a certain way, but then you might have to find a solution to make that person have confidence and feel good in what they're wearing. So It's the same thing.
That's super cool. I've seen, like, you know, U-Haul has been offering students like free, you know, free storage for like a month while this stuff's happening. So it's good that you're thinking of solutions to help like other people, you know, while people are sitting at home, like teachers mostly, because schools, I believe, are like the first thing that have closed. Yeah. Like if they want to come in, you know, you give them a 20% discount or whatever, they'll be happy about that.
We know
that
teachers like to drink.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be so many parents at home with their kids too. So people are going to need an escape. So I'm just going to try to twist it and see what happens for sure.
But having that mentality of always thinking 2-3 steps ahead and how to innovate and be creative in the space, that's what's going to separate you from any potential competitors. So I'm really not worried for you. You're really bright and you're smart and you know the space better than anyone. So I don't think there's going to be anyone that competes with you, not here in Toledo. Yeah.
And even if somebody tries to make a wine self-serve wine bar, I don't think they have a chance anyway. No. So.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So we like to always start to wind down the interview. There's some fun, offbeat questions.
Yeah.
So we've been to other establishments where they have ghost stories or it's haunted. Maybe not this place specifically, but do you have any good ghost stories?
A good ghost story?
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's not going to be related to the wine bar.
Oh, no, it doesn't have to be.
But
no.
Growing up, one of the streets I lived on was Ravine. It was called Ravine. And so there was a Ravine, a big Ravine on the street. And the house that I grew up in so happened to be the house right next to the Ravine. So there was a house in the Ravine, like you could see it from all directions, and it was a greenhouse. And the legend goes that there was this lady who died in the Ravine, and then she lived in the house, and we would call her the Green Lady. So people would go in the Ravine at night, and instead of saying Candyman, they would call Green Lady. And it was ridiculous as I grow up and think about how silly it was.
Yeah.
But even to this day, when I go to my aunt's house and I pull up in the Ravine, because depending on the season, if there's leaves and stuff, you can't see the house.
Mm-hmm.
But if I see it, I'm like, damn, Green Lady's up in there, you know, so.
Have you ever went into the house and tried testing it
out?
Oh,
no, because Green Lady might be real. For sure. I'm not testing it. It's okay.
No, we don't mess with ghosts either, so.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't, no. I don't mess with them. We've had some wild experiences with them. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't. I'm good. So, yeah, I just let the legend live, and I won't be, you know, the one to test the Green Lady theory.
That's what I'm saying. I've some stories and personal stuff I've seen. I believe ghosts are real, so I don't want to test anything out with that.
What is your favorite hometown restaurant or, you know, drinking establishment, whatever you think is the best place in your neighborhood? Got to promote the other businesses in Ohio. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Like, I don't even know. I wouldn't call it a drinking establishment, but I just like the vibe of, it's in Levis Commons. I like the vibe of Biagi, the Italian restaurant. To the point I like to sit at the bar and just kind of navigate it and see what's going on there. I like Massey Steakhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I just like the vibe there. You could just smell, not in a bad way, the history and just know the old wood. And it's just a nice vibe up in there for sure. Mm-hmm. I like tequila. And there's one in Sylvania, but there's one in Perrysburg too, right on 25. Mm-hmm. And then these aren't particularly bars, but Sidon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then probably last but not least, I love Nagoya in Levis Commons. It's Nagoya. A hibachi.
Oh really? I'm not from Ohio. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
That's actually the only one I've had out of all those, and it's so good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I can attest that Mancy's is really good.
Oh, yeah. I have had Mancy's as well. Yeah. I forgot about that. Mancy's is like, Nagoya you can actually like go to a decent amount, and Mancy's is like a special occasion.
Unless you go to lunch, though.
Yeah.
Don't slip on Mancy's Steakhouse lunch.
Okay. Is it not that pricey?
Yeah, usually, you can get a lunch sirloin for like $15.
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
I was going to say, because generally I go there for dinner like once a year. At the end of every school year, I go there for dinner, and it's like $250 for two people.
But the lunch is only during the weekday.
Okay.
So you can go Monday through Friday. It's like, you know, it ends at, I think, 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. To look it up, but they have a nice little lunch sirloin, especially if you're just going there for a steak. But I think they have a sirloin salad or whatnot. But yeah, same with Nagoya, because Nagoya can be a little expensive.
Yeah.
But Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they have lunch from 11 to 2, and the hibachi's only $15.
Oh yeah, that's not bad.
I'm all about saving money and enjoying myself at the same time, as well as tequila's happy hour. So.
All right, last question to wrap it up. Unless you have anything for us, but what's your dream? What's your dream car?
I could do a. I don't know if it's a dream car, but I like a nice little Porsche. I don't know. I could see like I want a dark gray one. With yellow wheels for some reason. I don't know why. I've never really, with just a little bit of tint on it.
Yeah.
Do a nice little, but I don't know how to drive a stick shift, so.
That's most are.
Yeah.
That'll be the easy part if you get a Porsche.
Yeah. I could do a nice little Porsche, riding around, nice gray with yellow.
Do you have any like crazy expensive ones? Because I know a lot of people, like I have one that, you know, is kind of like, you know, like a $75,000 car where it's like, feasible, then you know, like a $2 million car that's like, you know, a little less feasible.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know what? I could probably do like something that you're not supposed to drive. People are supposed to drive you around in it, like a Maybach or something.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, with the curtain, and you're just sitting there, and you can like do your work on your computer while somebody's driving you around. Yeah. I could go for that for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Pretty cool. All right, so. Unless you guys have any more questions or you have questions for us, I mean.
No.
All right, so where can the people find you? What's your website? What's your socials?
So we got, you know, Taste Wine Bar on IG, Instagram, Facebook. We got the tastewinebar.com. You can also, we have our own hashtag 41wine. And so, you know, if you just hit us up that way, you can always find us. Please come out. We have happy hour every day from 4 to 6, 20% off all of our wines.
Awesome. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Sweet.
Wrap her up.
Nice.
That was really good.